The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Irvia taking us in. We appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin on a Thursday morning of football.
Let's go. So pumped.
Football, as the coaches say down south. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good. I'm ready to go. Slept like a baby last night.
Did
it's
you?
Like Christmas morning.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah, I was dying the past couple days because I wasn't sleeping. I don't know why.
That's right.
Slept like a baby, ready for some football tonight. Thank God it's back.
Football. Unscripted with the Crack Man today. Bill Krakenberger will be here. Zach Cohen will join us to talk both U.S. Open and NFL. We will go through, Kelly and I, our AFC and NFC power rankings, and later, the Larceny Bourbon Smooth Play of the Week, Kelly.
I like it. I like it. This is one we'll be doing this every week. Larceny Bourbon on as a sponsor here, the Smooth Play of the Week, and it's a play that you and I are aligned on, so we'll talk through that.
Oh, okay. That's cool. We'll do that. Real quick, because I want to talk, obviously, Ravens and Chiefs. Special numbers game investigation revealing that the Ravens and Chiefs kick off tonight. U.S. Open, real quick, yesterday. Good and bad. The good far outweighed the bad. We hit the Karolina Muchova quarter at 10-1, baby. And some people online nice. Apparently got it at 100-1 or 150-1 at the offshore shop, I'm told, sportsbook.ag.
Oh, that's still up and running?
So that's what I said. So apparently they probably put an extra zero in there.
The extra
there's no
zero.
Other explanation for it. But congratulations to those of you who hit on her at 100-1 or 150-1. My God, those of us mere mortals hit it on 10-1. So that was the good thing. It was easy peasy in the morning. So that was the good one. The bad, Alex de Minaur lost in straight sets. So we lost on that match. The announcers were saying he was probably hurt the entire time.
Yeah,
so
that's what I kept sucks. Hearing, yeah.
Not really anything you can do about that. And then we lost our future on Iga, who played Iga Swiatek, world number one, played probably the worst match I've ever seen her play in her entire life. Just an unforced error or grade. Jesse Pegula deserves credit, too. But Iga gave her a million free points. And so we lose on that. But all dwarfed by the 10-1 on Muchova.
Nice hit.
And Chris Felica continues his slander of Iga online with really irresponsible tweets, which we'll get to with him tomorrow. That's a whole nother story. Today we do have one. I didn't think we were going to have any more plays because I thought Iga was going to advance. But now we do have a play. I could not wait for them to put out the Pegula-Muchova line. The women's semis are today. It came out Muchova plus 140. Give me that. If you are a VSiN subscriber, you got that at plus 140. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every pick in every sport. Muchova at plus 140. She's about plus 129 right now, still on the edge of being playable. Don't let it get out of the plus 120s. Don't let it get lower than that. But we have Muchova at plus 140 against Pegula. Not only did Pegula sort of capitalize on a lot of unforced errors, but Muchova's hard court data, 6 month, 12 month, much better than Pegula's. Pegula's are good. Muchova's are great. So Muchova is the play as a pretty sizable dog. To the National Football League. The Chiefs and the Ravens, I sort of want to couch this on the morning of as really where does your handicapping brain go? Because in the Chiefs, you have the defending two-time Super Bowl champions, of course, who in Patrick Mahomes sort of have a hack to the entire sport of football. I don't mean like he's a hack. I mean that he hacks the entire sport itself.
I got it, but good clarification probably.
Yes, let me just be clear. And then in the Ravens, you have this, the analytics community darling from last year, historically speaking. Let me explain. So with the Chiefs, end up winning the Super Bowl last year back to back. By the way, history of the NFL, for those who love these kinds of things, back to back in the Super Bowl era, Green Bay Super Bowls 1 and 2, Miami Super Bowls 7 and 8, Pittsburgh 9 and 10 and 12 and 13. Niners 23 and 24, Cowboys 27 and 28, Broncos 32 and 33, Patriots Super Bowls 38 and 39, and then these Chiefs. So this is what? That's the ninth occurrence of back to back. None of the previous eight have ever gotten back to the Super Bowl. Have never gotten back to the big game, as they call it.
The big game. Don't worry, we don't have to worry about that till late January.
Sorry, that's right, you're right. So the Chiefs last year win the Super Bowl while enduring all of the following. Their wide receivers were just an absolute mess. Let's quantify that. What do I mean by that? I talked about this on the Megapod. Their receivers, and that includes Travis Kelce at tight end and the running backs, dropped 35 passes last year, the most in the NFL. Other sources place the drop total at 44. That's a Pro Football Reference. Sports Info Solutions put it at 39. Either way, you get the idea.
Yeah.
They dropped a mess of passes last year. They also fumbled the ball away 9 times. The wideouts did. Mahomes to Kelce to Tony. You will remember the most famous play involving Chiefs wide receivers last year, pre-Super Bowl. The hook and lateral for a game-winning touchdown against the Bills that was eventually called back because of an illegal formation. So the Chiefs overcame all of that. That is an unbelievable amount of drops and fumbles. They also overcame the Taylor Swift distraction. Say what you will, I'm not blaming Taylor Swift, but there's a big distraction off the field. Mm-hmm. They overcame everything that Kadarius Toney was involved in off field. They overcame the big contract dispute with Chris Jones now in the offseason. So this is a team that is, you know, again, no matter what seems to go wrong, there's Patrick Mahomes to just defeat all other, you know, logic that would torpedo other teams, because he is the great Patrick Mahomes. Now, in the case of the Ravens, let's take a place like FTN Sports, where Aaron Schatz does his DVOA now. He, the founder of Football Outsiders, where he first had DVOA. The Ravens were 13-4 last year. That was the best DVOA, his proprietary stat, that analyzes every single play, every down against league average. The fifth best team in the history of the National Football League during the regular season. The only teams that were better, Kelly, the 2010 Patriots, the 85 Bears, the 85 Super Bowl Shuffle Bears, the 91 Skins, greatest team of all time, according to Aaron Schatz, the 2007 Patriots, which, remember, only lost an undefeated season in the Super Bowl itself, and that's it. That's the list. Ravens of 2023 were the fifth best all time, according to DVOA. So you have this Chiefs team that overcame everything because they have this unbelievable once-in-a-generation quarterback, and you have the Ravens that over the course of a season, at least analytically speaking, were historically great, fifth best against all of those great teams of all time. And then what happens? The Ravens get to the playoffs, and they play the Chiefs. Flowers, if you remember the details of that game, Zay Flowers had the ball punched out while reaching for the end zone. Lamar threw an end zone pick in triple coverage. And then was at the end of the game, remember the thing that sealed it, Roquan Smith tried to do the chess move, but the final drive by picking up an offsides call to prevent a game icing first down, but he ran the play so well that he got called for unsportsmanlike or unnecessary roughness. So that's how that ended. Any great team like the Ravens, you lose players, you lose Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney, you lose Odell Beckham Jr. You lose Patrick Queen, you lose Geno Stone. And of course you lose your great defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, which had people coming from everywhere in that defense, even though they actually only rushed four or fewer 80% of the time. But it was the disguise that made his defense so great. He's taken that to Seattle now. What elements of that can the Ravens still execute properly is the big question. Who did the Ravens, by the way, have done great in replacing many of those guys that left. The biggest acquisition, of course, this year, Derrick Henry in the backfield. And I've been intimately involved in the Ravens running back depth chart all season.
Yes, you have.
So it's Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, and now the fifth round draft pick, Ali. Rasheen Ali is the number three running back. So that's what you have tonight, essentially. You have this, you know, this historical team in the Ravens coming off a historical season, let's put it that way. Still have John Harbaugh as a coach, still 12-4 against the spread in openers, still should be respected as one of the great franchises in the National Football League, but it's against Patrick Mahomes, who's this otherworldly thing. And so you put all that in the wash, and the spread is what the spread is, which is, you know, what, 3 points right now at this point. And so that's your NFL opener. And quite frankly, I'll ask the question, if this were in a middle of a early slate of Sunday games, and it was Chiefs 3-point favorites over the Ravens, would you have a bet on it?
Yes.
You would.
I would. I have a bet on it tonight. I did lay the 2.5 with Kansas City. It's week one. It's not a massive bet or anything, but I did expect this to be, I expected the Chiefs to be laying three, maybe even 3.5 on the other side here. I think this is a Kansas City team. You talked a lot about the receivers that they did upgrade in that position. I think this is a Kansas City team that is a little bit better overall heading into this season from where they were at last year, which is crazy to say when they won a Super Bowl. We're going to do our power rankings later, but it just brings it to the point of how can you doubt this team after what they did last year? Winning a Super Bowl with that, the lack of production at the receiver position was just incredible. But that's
the question, right? Do you take the team with the body of work, or do you take the team that can essentially, quote, you know, turn it on at any time with Mahomes in any one game?
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind, so look, I'm on Kansas City. I think the other thing to keep in mind is you talked about that AFC Championship game last year. That was a very, very bold game plan that Baltimore entered that game with, where they essentially didn't hand the ball off. It was they wanted to test Kansas City through the air, and it kind of backfired for the most part. I am very interested to see how Todd Monken addresses that tonight when they roll in to Kansas City. You would think there's a lot of pressure on him and kind of that coaching staff to, I mean, not make the same mistakes they did, I think, last year with that game plan. So,
although you say that the biggest thing that made the Ravens historically great last year, at least during the regular season, was Greg Roman to Todd Monken, right? Because Todd Monken at least instituted, I mean, it didn't work against Kansas City, but the fact that he was able to spread the field and allow Lamar Jackson to be great was the whole key to why they were great offensively.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think they were always more balanced than that. I mean, it was like, I've got it pulled up. I mean, it was Gus Edwards, 3 carries. Zay Flowers, 2. Yeah. Justice Hill, 3. Like, that's all they had from running backs in that game. Yeah. Abandoned. With Derrick Henry in the mix, I'm very interested to see how that works this year.
Should be great. We'll get Zach Cohen's thoughts on the game momentarily, as well as his U.S. Open thoughts. Is he on Mahova like I am today? We'll get to that on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With college football already underway and the NFL kicking off today, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, plus our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates for every team, new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and of course, more best bets. Grab our football season special, get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175, or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99 and see why VSiN Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up and watch or listen to us anywhere you go. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. So you got the Chiefs -2.5 today locked in already from earlier.
Yeah, laying 2.5. Looking over some of the props right now, like player props. I don't know if there's anything I'm going to bet here, but -105 and for any time touchdown for Isaiah Pacheco, -125 for Derrick Henry. That feels aggressive. I'm very intrigued to see how this Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson running game works. Like, that is, I think it's going to be very different from what we've seen with the Ravens.
-125 anytime touchdown Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You feel like that's aggressive? I feel like that's low.
I feel like it's aggressive, but only because I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know.
I would rather take +215 on Lamar to score one. Not just because of the number, because I think he will be active with his legs too. I know the whole idea is that Derrick Henry now on the roster allows them to be more aggressive running the ball at the goal line and not use Lamar Jackson as much in those areas. I think there might be a little value on that Lamar number here early in the season.
We shall see. Let's find out where Zach Cohen falls on all this. Zach Cohen comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, betting on X on Twitter for some tennis and football talk. Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good. Remind us, if you would, where you stand on this game, where your bets are tonight.
I like the Chiefs -2.5, so I'm with Kelly there. I think the Ravens are breaking in a new defensive coordinator. They also lost to Davion Clowney and Patrick Queen. So last year's, you know, top defense going to look a little bit different. It's also a defense that really struggled to contain Travis Kelce last year. So losing some talent in the middle of the field and losing your play caller could hurt a little bit there. So if we're looking at a player prop, I think I mentioned it on the show Tuesday, I like over 56.5 receiving yards for Kelce. He went over in 9 of his 15 regular season games last year, went over in all the playoff games last year, went way over when he played against the Ravens in the playoffs last season.
Do either of those two props we just brought up? I don't know if you heard. Derrick Henry -125, anytime touchdown. What was the other one? Lamar?
Lamar was +215.
Either of those interest you at all?
I think I'd be more interested in the Lamar one than the Henry one. I just would be surprised if they get all the way down there and they don't run some type of fake where they get Lamar going outside.
All right.
Yeah, so, read option or something. I just think there's a lot there that feels like a pretty big number. I'm interested to see with the Kelce stuff. Like week one, I think that's no problem, Zach. I am interested to see how much they dial back and try to save his legs as the season goes on. You've heard a lot of those reports kind of through the offseason that they'll try to, you know, dial back a little bit his usage. I don't think we're going to see that night one, but it'll be interesting to keep our eye on here through the season.
What beyond tonight did you bet, Zach?
I have the Eagles -2.5 against the Packers. I get that at -2 now. I know that you're not very high on Philly this year, but it's actually kind of a combination of me being high on Philly, not as high on others on Green Bay. I think that the Eagles are going to look a lot more like the football team they looked like early last season. I think that they're going to get back to being top five or so in offense. I think they're going to be league average defensively. So I think that that's a game where I kind of trust them to get the job done. I think that a Vic Fangio defense matches up very well with a Packers team that wants to throw the ball deep because Fangio's not going to let his corners get beat over the top. And then I also like under 42 in Steelers Falcons, which is, you know, nothing bold there. I think Pittsburgh, we saw them in the preseason, they could not score. I do not have a lot of faith in Russell Wilson leading that offense, which is sad for me as a Wisconsin, you know, alum. I really like to see Russell succeed. And I think that the Falcons with Cousins coming back off an Achilles, playing with a defensive-minded head coach, I don't see them going crazy in that game either.
That has become a very popular pick, the under in the Steelers-Falcons game. Are you in Survivor at all? Are you playing Survivor?
I'm playing Survivor on my own. I'm not in the Circa Survivor.
Okay. Would you like to share with us what you're thinking for Survivor? For your non-Circa pool?
I'm going with the Bengals. It's lame. I know everyone's going to take them, but I don't want to be out in week one. I think that's the safest play.
By the way, I'm not as high on the Eagles, but I do like them against the Packers. And I have always said about the Eagles, even though I'm not high on them, I still expect them to win the division. I do think there is a scenario where if they don't play well in the early part of the season, though, Nick Sirianni is toast with a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator in Moore and Fangio. I think that scenario exists for Sirianni. Okay. Yeah. United States Open tennis. You have Pegula winning it all, right?
Yep, I have Pegula winning it all at 12-1. So tough matchup coming up here, especially because I kind of like Pegula to win again. And I've had a lot of, you know, failures so far this tournament where I'm picking the player that I have in a future in a singles match. But I do think she's going to beat Mukova. They played against one another in Cincinnati. I know that those conditions are a little different. Mukova joked that they played in a parking lot. But I thought that that was a match that really lined up well for Mukova to win. It was, Pegula coming off a 1,000-level win. Nobody would have blamed her for going out early in that match. She played a pretty lousy first set, dropped that first one. But from there, she kind of ran away with it. And I know that Mukova's playing a lot better in New York. But I just think that Pegula, the way that she's playing, she looks like a top player in the world to me. I think she kind of always has. It's just one of those, you know, best player without a major thing. So I think that this is a really good opportunity for her to get to the final. I would have to look into doing something with the Sabalenka one. I don't think she's going to beat her, but yeah, I'm happy to have the ticket at this point.
Remarkably consistent numbers over time for Jessie Pegula. Absolutely. Give her that for sure. $7.5 billion heiress, Kelly, in case you were scrolling.
Well, you know, I was sorry to see your EGA ticket go down, but I don't know if you caught the video last week about her having to take the subway over to the U.S.
Jessie
Open.
Pegula?
Yeah, Jessie Pegula.
I felt bad for her.
It kind of broke my heart because I'm like, what, you know, she really needs a private helicopter to get her there. So hopefully as she racks up these wins, we can get her that helicopter and she doesn't have to worry about
this. She's really roughing it right there.
Yeah, really roughing. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, you have in two semifinalists. Again, $7.5 billion heiress in Pegula and a $1.5 billion heiress in Navarro. And yet these two girls, I'm serious, this is I think it's phenomenal.
It's incredible.
These two girls who didn't have to do anything in life have become, in Jessie's case, a top five player. And in Navarro's case, a top 20 player probably will get to the top 10. It's unbelievable. It's an incredible story.
I'm on your side with this, by the way, and I've gotten in so many arguments about it. I think that it's impressive to, you know, have the drive to be atop something in the world when you don't have to be. So I know that there's the other end of the coin where they don't have resources. It's hard to get out when you don't, but it says something about their work ethic.
Absolutely. Well, what's the counter argument? The counter argument is, oh, they have all the advantages. Yeah. They get country clubs and all this. Yeah, but there's a million other people that have that too. That's incredible that they're able to be this guild. Okay, any college football this weekend, by the way?
I have Oregon minus 19 against Boise State. I think that Oregon team really played a lot better than the score suggested against Idaho. Gabriel threw for nearly 400 yards, didn't throw an interception, had two touchdowns. They were marching down the field and just making a lot of mistakes in opponent's territory. I think that they're going to figure it out this week. I think the Will Steins were one of the best offensive coordinators in the nation. I think that Gabriel, you know, is going to be more comfortable in his second week with the Ducks. So I think that that's going to be a game where Oregon's going to hang a really big number on Boise State. And I think defensively, they're going to know what to do with Ashton Gentry. Like, they can throw bodies in the box and not worry about, you know, Maddox Madsen beating them over the top. I don't think that Boise State has the best quarterback play in the world. So I think that Oregon's going to be aggressive about trying to stop Gentry from just shredding them on the ground the way he did last week in that game. One of the most ridiculous college performances you'll see. But I think that as long as you're laying, you know, anything less than 21, I'd be pretty, you know, happy grabbing Oregon.
Gentry, 6 touchdowns last week, 13.35 yards a carry. Not too shabby. All right, Kelly and I are about to do our AFC and NFC conference rankings. We're going to go 10 deep in each conference. So I ask you here before the season starts, and I just laid it out with the Ravens and the Chiefs that, and even the most, by the way, even these analytics, you know, pro football guides this offseason, even if their numbers keep showing Ravens and Niners specifically better than the Chiefs, they all then have the sentence, yeah, but like we thought this last year too, and then Patrick Mahomes comes marching in. And so like even our numbers, our hearts kind of override our numbers. So if I just ask you the basic question here before the season starts, want to get you on record. Who is in the Super Bowl this year, Zach Cohen?
I think it's going to be Chiefs and Niners. I don't know how it's going to work out. It's really boring to pick the two from last year, but I'm kind of with everybody. Like I had the Ravens last year, and I just don't really want to go against Mahomes again. 49ers are a worse team than they were last year, but I still think good enough to represent the NFC. If I wasn't going with the 49ers, I'd probably say Eagles, but I think I feel a little bit better about the 49ers getting there. And I do think that they're going to win it if they do. I think that, you know, the last couple of losses will be enough for them to get over the hump now. It's just kind of I've said it before on here, you give yourself enough bites at the apple, you're eventually going to break through. I think that Shanahan gets a lot of flack for his postseason coaching. He's going to figure it out.
If I took the Chiefs and Niners off the board, who wins it?
I think I'd go with the Eagles. I think that Philly has the potential to be really good this year. There's definitely some, you know, potential disaster there, but I'm kind of with you with, like, I think that Sirianni's kind of on the hot seat just because they're a really aggressive front office. We saw what they did with Doug Peterson, but I do think that the talent is there, and I think the coaching will be a lot better with the new coordinators.
All right. A lot of Lions backers out there, Jets backers. It's going to be an awesome season. Zach Cohen. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, man. Good luck on Jesse.
Thanks, guys.
Even though I'm on Mahova. Conference rankings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly and I are about to do our conference power rankings, but before that, I want to remind you about this unbelievable thing that's going down at Sport Trade. If you're the type of player looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, Sport Trade is what you need. It's the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. It's live in Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa, and it is coming to Arizona and Virginia. Oh, trips across the border, Kelly. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Pardon me. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Sport Trade minus 104. They used to be an exchange, by the way. Now they're just really kind of like a low vig sports book. That's the way to go. Minus 104.
Just catching up on my email, too. Just got a email from Alex Kane about 30 minutes ago. You'll be joining the show 7:30 Pacific time next Friday.
All right.
8 days from now.
We like having Alex on.
Yeah. I mean, they got, like you just mentioned, there's a lot of exciting things going on for them right now. So I know they're kind of trying to wrap up a couple things. Want to come in next week and have some announcements for us.
I did a panel with Billy Walters on it. Spanky was kind enough to have me moderate the panel at Bet Bash with Billy Walters. And Alex Kane was on the panel as well. And he sort of commanded the room more than even Billy did.
Really?
Dare I say.
Well, when you got hair like that, you command everybody's attention. Come on. Yeah.
He's also like 6'4 or something like that.
Oh, one of those sneaky tall guys, too?
Yeah. I was like, dude, really?
Spores, sneaky tall, yep.
All right, conference rankings. Plug it in. The Bone.
Did we come up with different ones every time?
That'll never get old. I keep messing up the frequency, though.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
103.1, The Buzz. That was the one down at West Palm Beach.
Buzz. Yeah. The Bone, very popular in San Francisco for so many years. What am I doing? I'm doing first AFC Power Rankings?
Yeah, we'll go you first. We'll do AFC and then NFC. Yep.
Okay. Let's start from 1 going down to 10. Because now remember, when we go 10 deep on conferences, we're essentially getting into the nether regions, if you will, of the conference. Yeah.
Wait, can I ask you a question before we even start this real quick?
Yes, sir.
Super Bowl, like, I don't think either you or I are the type to often make to win the Super Bowl bet before the season, or if we have, it's been pretty sparingly over the past 5 years. I feel like this year that is even tougher to do, especially after this exercise yesterday, where I'm like, I don't know. I'm not super confident in any one team winning either one of these conferences, much less the Super Bowl.
I keep getting back to the same point, so I apologize for being redundant on this, but when you have Mahomes, it is the life hack of this, right? So it's sort of like all your numbers can say one thing, but then he'll just come sauntering in and he'll throw the ball from his hip, you know, at the most key time of a game.
I mean, as we roll into yours, like, how is it not possible to have them number one? Like,
it is not possible.
It's not.
Not for me, anyway. I have the Chiefs at number one in the AFC. I got the Bengals, as Matt Brown says, the Bengals at number two. This is because Joe Burrow is the only person to have shown himself to be a Chiefs killer. And until that's proven otherwise, and by the way, obviously the rest of his career has been hampered by injuries, I've got the Bengals at number two. The Ravens, they deserve number three because of their body of work. I get it. No Mike McDonald, but they were good before Mike McDonald as well. And they deserve that kind of street cred credit here. The street credit. Ravens at three. Jets are four. I actually think the Jets are the team to watch this year. That is a commonly held opinion. But that defense was sick last year when they had horrific quarterback play. Now, if you can get some modicum of a performance from Aaron Rodgers off the Achilles, they are number four. Again, the Williams brothers and Sauce on that defense at every level is just spectacular. I think Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson just go nuts this year. Jets at four. Texans at five. C.J. Stroud is just everything that we saw. I don't think it was a rookie. I don't think we'll see a sophomore slump. I really don't.
Me either.
I think he's that cerebral of a quarterback, as well as having the physical skills. I got the Texans at five. Dolphins are a bully, right? They're a team that will crush like they did last year. The Dolphins and the Cowboys are the same team. They're bullies. They crush teams that are far worse than them, and they get punched in the mouth when someone their own size picks on them. But I got the Dolphins right now at number six because that offense still has the greatness of Waddle and Tyreek, of Mostert in the backfield as well, and Achane. So they are as fast as could be. Dolphins at six. Browns, the jury's out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give them seven because they ought to be able to grind their way. Now, remember, when we get to seven or eight in the conference, we're actually talking about a middling team in the conference. This is the spot. Can you get into the playoffs or not?
Right. This is the make-miss playoff spot. Yeah.
By doing it by conference, it sort of throws off your little off-kilter with it. So the Browns at seven is, can they make the playoffs or not? The Jaguars get eight. Trevor Lawrence, what's it going to be? You're going to fumble the ball season long? You're going to hold on to it? What's the story? They're number eight. I'm down on the Bills more than others. I've got them at nine. And because there was really no other viable candidate to put at 10, the Colts get 10.
Yeah, we have the same 10 because I think I felt that way too. Like, no matter what you feel about the Colts, and I mean, I don't even want to say that I'm higher on them than most, because I think there are some people here.
You're higher on Anthony Richardson.
Exactly. I'm higher on Anthony Richardson, but I felt the same way. Like, it's them in 10 and those top 10. And then it felt like a pretty drastic drop off.
When we did the preview of every team this year, the Colts, I mean, the Colts season comes down to him and him alone. Chris Ballard basically did nothing in the offseason.
Yeah.
So it's like, how good or bad is Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, it really is that. Yeah. I would be higher on the Colts as a team if they had done more in the offseason, yeah. Right? And I know there are some smart people saying, okay, well, if they didn't go out and make those moves that they kind of needed to, it tells you a little bit about where Anthony Richardson's really at. And he's not progressed far enough.
Seems like you already lied to us, Kelly. You have the Colts at 9.
No, but same top 10,
oh,
just in different order as usual.
I thought you said Colts at 10.
So right at the top, it's different. I mean, Chiefs, we got number one. We share that. Gil, the longer and longer we've talked about the New York Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they could have been two for me,
this too. 2-6 range is very, very difficult for me to order at this point. We're heading into the season. So I am going to go Jets number 2 because I do think they have the most well-rounded roster of all those teams that we're talking about. Now, Ravens are right there. So it's really hard for me to put them any further down than 3. You had them at 3-2. I think that's understandable. They were a team I don't think I was willing to drop further than that. But I did put the Jets 2. Ravens 3. I want Texans 4. Agree with everything you said. I think that pass rush is going to be dangerous. They have probably the best wide receiving core in the league. CJ Stroud, I do not expect to take a step back at all. Watch out for Houston. I think it's another year that they're going to be a strong, strong contender. Bengals number 5 for me. I have definitely cooled down a bit on them since we made those bets early and we've got this whole Jamar Chase thing going still. We'll see, but a healthy Joe Burrow, like you said, we've seen him actually challenge the Chiefs. Then the Bills at 6 for me with Josh Allen. These ones were tough then, the next two. Browns, Dolphins. Did you have that? You had Dolphins up a little bit higher.
Yeah, you and I are a little different on the Bills.
Because you had Bills down. And Dolphins. That's why you had Bills down. Yeah, so Browns, Dolphins. I don't flip a coin to, but like you said, Browns may be the toughest team for me to figure out as we're heading into the season. How good is this offense going to be? How good is Deshaun Watson really going to be? Big question for me, Dolphins. Can they replicate the high level of success they had on offense last year? And how bad is this defense going to be? Because I do have concerns. And then I have Colts and Jaguars filling it out. I think one of those two teams wouldn't be surprised to see them make the playoffs.
So it occurs to me that some people listening are going to be like, why do you guys do power rankings? Like, who cares what your power rankings are? What power rankings do, whether you do them mathematically or just off the cuff, they should be able to give you guardrails from week to week and prevent recency bias. So if you have a 1 through 10 as we have just outlined, whatever your 1 through 10 is, if a team at 4 has a horrible performance, they shouldn't fall all the way to 10. It should help you keep in mind what their true sort of ranking is. Now, over time, if they have 3 bad performances in a row, whatever, they should fall accordingly. But this just gives you some sort of guideline to go from week to week. Here's the NFC version of this. I got the Niners at 1. As low as I am on the Eagles compared to the conventional wisdom, I still got them at 2. I got the Lions at 3. I love Jordan Love. Maybe the Packers are higher here because of a small sample size. I can concede that, but as of now, I believe in Jordan Love. He's number 4. He's not number 4. The Packers are. Cowboys are at 5. They're the bully. They're the Dolphins equivalent. Rams with Matthew Stafford still at the helm have got to be number 6. Seahawks with Mike McDonald as the defensive coordinator are number 7 to me. And again, this is where you get into will they make the playoffs or not. I got the AFC South best Falcons at 8, but only 8. And then 9 and 10 were just a ridiculous exercise. I happened to go Cardinals and Saints. But honestly, if you threw in Washington or whomever, I wouldn't have an argument with you.
Yeah, real quick. So at the top, like this is not like NFC is just tough for me. Like yeah. I think there are 3 teams kind of that stand alone. I went Eagles, Lions, Niners, but I'm not going to argue with anybody who wants to switch around any of those 3 teams to put as number 1. But I am high on the Eagles this year, though, so I'm putting them as my number 1 team in the NFC. Cowboys, I feel like we've come around to this conversation the past week. I just think people are maybe not seeing them like the team they were last year. And I know they played a bunch of bully ball, too. I think we're expecting a big drop from this team that I'm not fully expecting. I got Seahawks number 5. I think that's a surprise one, Gil. I do expect big things out of Seattle this year. I got Seahawks 5, Packers 6. Rams 7, Falcons 8. As much as I got bets on Falcons
you
to win
me,
that division,
yeah.
But where do they stand in the conference? I still think it's around that number. Cardinals 9 for me. They were definitely going to be my top 10. And Bears? Sure, Bears.
9 and 10 is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. The Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. Next on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.